Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
You know, Al, I wrote that country song, by the way. Yeah, so whenever you're ready for it, just let me know. And I, pot called the kettle black.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, we'll be ready for that on Friday.
What's that?
I think we'll be ready for that on Friday.
Oh,
I
you're not
I have Friday off.
Oh, what a jerk! I did spend more than 15 minutes on it. I only meant to spend 15 minutes on it, but. I wrote some piano music with it too, so.
Oh, you have it. You have it all.
It's not all produced. Nah, I'm an idiot. So I just got the piano, and then I could, I could sing along with it.
Apparently, now you got until Friday, so you got more time on your hands.
No.
Are you done with? You know, I had a good friend.
It's good enough.
I had a good friend who was a barber, and he said that the only problem with dudes who cut their own hair is that they never know when to quit. He said, I'm just going to fix this little part here. Then I'm going to fix this little part here. Fix this part here. Before you know it, you cut it all off.
The bummer is that I wrote it. I thought it was kind of good. And then a listener on Twitter wrote a better song. Pot called the kettle black.
Did he really?
I thought, I read his lyrics, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're pretty good. Mine's a little bit more bitter and dark. His is kind of funny.
I can get the band together to bring it to life.
Well, that'd be awesome. I can get the band together easily.
Yeah, I got some friends out there that have some nice bands.
That's cool. I got the music for it.
Okay.
It's easy.
You wrote it all out?
Yeah, well. You know, I just played it and I figured it out in my head.
Didn't write it down. No. Okay.
I mean, I made a lot of mistakes in it too.
So what is this supposed to be, like drum line? So after you hear it,
that's right. I can't read it.
I'm like, you can't read music. Do you know how to read music?
I do, but I'm not good at reading music.
You know how to make a 16th note and a 32nd note?
I do.
And you know how to write it in?
It would take me forever. Music,
huh?
I could do it. It would take me freaking forever.
Okay.
I'm not good at it whatsoever, but.
I can read whole notes and half notes.
Whole notes and half notes?
Maybe some quarter notes.
That's good.
After the quarter notes, that's it for me. So piano is never going to be my deal.
Big Sexy, did you get to the editing process of this? Well, I gave it to you 2 hours ago.
Yeah, I know. I'm working on it.
Okay. He hasn't even opened
it. Well, you got a remix. Remix.
I'm just saying.
You got to remix it.
We don't have to. We don't have to. But I was challenged on Friday, right? You remember I was, and you came up
How
with
How long
the,
is your song?
You came. Oh, it's just a minute. 1 minute. It would go.
Okay, let's play it, Big Sexy.
Well, he doesn't have it yet. Don't worry about it. I mean,
what do you mean you gave it to him 2 hours? Why doesn't he have it?
That's a good question. Solid question.
Let's play your 1 minute song.
It's not ready right now.
Oh my goodness, now you don't want to play it?
No, I do, but Brian hasn't even touched it yet.
What, does he have to edit it?
Slightly.
Why, did you curse in your...
No, it's just piano music. No, I told you.
Because it's recorded the way it's recorded, I have to live roll on it, and then I have to go in and then save it and then edit it. So it's only one minute.
How long did it take?
I just haven't done the process yet.
I just figured it would happen within the past 2 hours, that's all. It's okay.
Just going solid and Big Sexy.
I mean, a little bit.
Oh, now he's you're such a jerk.
Oh, he is. Now he's ticked off and he's sauntering away.
He gets salty. You know he's sensitive.
Well, I gotcha.
Leave Big Sexy alone, man.
I'll leave him alone.
That's my guy.
It's all right. Maybe after 5:30.
Maybe we do it Friday.
I just want to let you know I did it, though. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so you completed your homework.
I completed my homework. Okay. The question is, does anybody really want to hear it?
Now, the question is, did you do well on the homework, or did you just complete the task?
Yeah, I think I did.
Is
I don't know.
Pride in the music?
It's a country song, so it's...
pride in your country song?
I think it's as good as all the other crap I hear.
Oh, my goodness. How do you know we just don't have a hit on our hand? You sure you want to release this to the public without getting the copyright?
I think the fact that a listener came up with, better lyrics... And my challenge is probably an indication of...
But was your music better music? I mean, better
lyrics? Didn't have any music. I don't know. I could read you his lyrics, too. And you could judge.
Mm.
Yeah. Maybe this is a big Facebook Live thing, now that I think about it. Maybe this should all live on Facebook Live.
Oh, should this be a Facebook Live challenge kind of deal?
Yeah, kind of like the Bird Box challenge that we did. Maybe.
Oh my goodness! Maybe those referees were doing the Bird Box challenge on a non-call of the interference.
All right, let's get back to sports. Avs
you
lost
think
today.
That was a Bird Box moment when the referee like,
you know,
I think I can hear that fall better than I can see it.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. It was a Bird Box challenge.
That was a Bird Box challenge at referee.
That's what we had. The referee actually had a blindfold on with Sandra Bullock. Morgan, you're on the Fan. Hi, Morgan.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Super.
Super.
All right. I just want to play a little devil's advocate with Big Al here on the Sean Mannion, Nick Mullins thing. If you trade for Nick Mullins, wouldn't his contract that he's under still be a little bit more worth it than paying a backup a few million, especially since Mullins has starting experience compared to Mannion?
What are you trading for? What pick?
I mean, nothing lower than a fourth, like fourth, fifth, if you can, because, I mean, if I'm pretty sure he was undrafted.
Why would they give up a fourth round? I mean, I think it's going to be like a third-round pick if you trade for the guy.
You know, Jewell was a fourth-round pick, as was Deshaun Hamilton. I don't like a trade, Al. I'm with you on that, by the way. I don't like a trade. I actually hate a trade because you're going to have to give up, at the minimum, a fourth-round pick, probably even a third-round pick. I hate it. Because
so the guy's shown already, he's better than Case Keenum. So what would you give for that? I think it's a third-round pick.
Well, I would only be interested in a free agent guy, kind of the way you were going, that's ultimately going to be a backup. So it's a weird way of thinking because free agency happens before the draft. But your concept, more or less, is get a guy.
But you took care of the quarterback position.
Yeah.
See, what the Broncos have done better than any other team in the NFL is that they've taken care of all their real pressing needs in free agency and supplemented all the other things in the draft.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bummer that the draft isn't before free agency. That would be, if I was a general manager, that's the way I would want it to be. And then I could see how the draft shakes out in terms of determining what I do with, everybody else. But it's not. Free agency happens first. I love your plan, actually. Can I tell you? Because essentially your plan sets up the room for a long period of time with two guys that theoretically would be working together under the same philosophy. It would not send mixed messages to the team. Mixed messages are keeping Case Keenum. That is a mixed message. Keeping Case Keenum and drafting Drew Locke is a mixed message. I'm all for starting from scratch. And
By the way, Nick Mullins is the same body type as Case Keenum.
Yeah, so I'm not a fan of Mullins.
So that Scangarillo told Nick Mullins to study Case Keenum.
Mm. Yes, that is true.
In the offseason.
So forget that.
I don't want you asked me what I want. I told you what I want. I want 6'6", rocket arm, been in the system, can make every throw, and can run with the football.
Yeah, ultimately, you know, Gary Kubiak was also in the 1983 draft, by the way. And there was no confusion about who he was to John Elway all those years.
What round was he drafted?
Sixth, seventh round, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And don't forget the Broncos didn't draft John Elway. They acquired him in a trade. But, you know, that was all kind of
that gets lost in why you got to hit us with facts? You know, the Broncos have never drafted a quarterback with any long-term success.
They have not. Although Cutler played in the league for 10 years, more than 10 years.
Not for the Broncos.
That's true. Another good point.
Before Peyton Manning, the last quarterback to go to the Pro Bowl was Jay Cutler.
You know what I kind of like about your Mannion lock sort of scenario? If it really, I mean, this would kind of suck, but if it didn't work out with Locke or he wasn't the guy, if you still had a guy like Mannion, you actually could dump Locke and just draft a quarterback in 2020 as well. You really could. And you're not really doing yourself any damage. It's actually not. Now, you'd be giving up theoretically on, like, Greedy Williams, right? A starting cornerback. And that would hurt. You know, that would kind of suck. but so what? I mean, what does that even matter when you talk about finding a quarterback for the next 15 years? If you missed on a great cornerback 1 year in the draft, who cares? Because you can make that position up. Cornerback, there are great cornerbacks, Al, that come out of the college all the time. It's amazing how incredibly athletic these guys are.
You know what I like doing? I like going back and looking at draft classes and who ended up doing well out the draft class and who didn't do well. And every time I see and you go to Wikipedia, you can take a look at every draft class you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you see guys in green on Wikipedia, when you look at draft class, those are the guys that are Hall of Famers.
Mm.
You know, in my draft class, there were only two Hall of Famers that were part of my draft class. I wasn't one of them.
Mm-hmm.
The two guys were Aeneas Williams and Brett Favre. Okay. A second rounder. And I think Aeneas was a third rounder. Okay, so Brett Favre went pick number 33 to the Atlanta Falcons. Okay, so, and 59 for Aeneas. So when I tell you that these kind of guys are rare to find, and all those guys, like I look at the guys in orange that were Pro Bowlers, myself, Ted Washington, Henry Jones, Herman Moore, Todd Light, Eric Swan, Eric Turner, Russell Maryland. None of those guys had the impact on the game like the guy that was picked at number 33 in the NFL draft, Brett Favre. Because he was a quarterback. He was a quarterback. So keep going for your quarterback until you find your quarterback. It's not a bad thing if you drafted a guy. You know who the Atlanta Falcons' first pick was that year? Mike Pritchard. So what are you saying? You missed on Mike Pritchard, but you won on Brett. You won for the entire organization if you keep Brett Favre there in Atlanta and play him. So my bottom line is keep drafting a quarterback until you find your right guy. Just keep it. Just keep doing the right things. Keep improving that room. That room has to improve so that you can have a chance to play on NFC and AFC showdown weekend.
Yeah, the more that I think of it, for example, under that philosophy, the Cardinals should definitely trade Josh Rosen and draft Kyler Murray. I mean, they've got a coach who already loves Murray. Has an idea of how to use him.
Or was that just coach speak?
Well, I guess we'll find out, you know, if he was lying or not, because he's in the position now to do it. And why not? Why not do it? And if I'm the Giants, I'm like, hey, great. If you're the New York Giants and you got to move on at some point from Eli, wouldn't you rather have Josh Rosen than any of the batch of quarterbacks coming out right now? I mean, if I'm the Giants, man, I'd do that deal in a freaking heartbeat because the draft can be kind of weird. Like, weird things can happen in the draft. I like a done deal. Frankly, if I'm the Broncos, I would probably do that deal, too, for Josh Rosen, by the way. And I know you like Josh Rosen as well. I'd
do the deal to get Von Miller for the third overall pick from the Jets.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about a deal with the Cardinals, though. But
yeah,
sure.
I'm just saying.
In addition, you would do a deal with the Jets.
I think that
sure.
You know, people who are short-sighted can't understand and can't know what it's like to be in a situation without a starting quarterback. You know, I mentioned to you that the Chicago Bears have not had a quarterback that's been to the Pro Bowl. They haven't had a Pro Bowl quarterback in 33 years, and go back and look at the success of the organization over those 33 years, and you'll see that it's pretty much, you know, a sub-500 organization. I think it's more like a 400 organization.
Let me ask you what you would do with that pick. So here you go. You trade Vaughn to the New York Jets, and now you have the number 3 pick, and you have the number 3 pick and the number 10 pick. What are you doing?
I'm drafting Drew Lock.
Drew Lock at number 3. Okay. Yep. What are you doing at 10?
At 10, I'm probably taking a cornerback.
Say Greedy Williams.
Yeah. But, you know, the guy that I would love to take is, if he does fall, I think it's a travesty, but Ed Oliver is a natural.
You want Ed Oliver or Greedy Williams?
Hold on, hold on. I would love Ed Oliver if we were in a 4-3 defense because I think that he is a natural 3 technique. He plays over the guard. But we play a 3-4 defense and Fangio plays a 3-4 defense, which means that that guy's usually around 6'4" to 6'7", around 290 pounds to 320 pounds, and he moves left to right and does not have to be a hell bringer. Because you're looking for your edge rushers to be your hell bringer.
You gotta make it. You understand all the things. So what are you doing? You drafting Ed Oliver or Greedy Williams?
Draft the cornerback.
Can I just say Greedy Williams for the sake of argument?
Sure.
Okay.
I haven't done enough work on the cornerbacks, but go ahead.
So it's now you've traded Vaughn and you get Drew Lock and Greedy Williams. Okay. Would you rather have Drew Lock and Greedy Williams, or would you rather have Greedy Williams and Josh Rosen?
I'd rather have Josh Rosen.
Okay, then why not do a deal with the Cardinals and get Josh Rosen?
I'd love it.
All it takes is, you know, your 10 pick. Now, you can see where the Giants would think of this, too. First of all, it's there. I think it's there, Al. I think that exists right now.
I think whoever thought that up is Kyler Murray. I don't know. You know what, man?
Do you think Kingsbury was just lying?
Yes, I think it's coach speak.
Okay, why?
Because that's what coaches do the week that you play a team. Oh, my goodness. That guy is so fantastic. I mean, I think that he's
so
the
you
best
think he was full of night. You think he was full of crap?
Man, I've been around so many coaches that have built guys up, and then they close the door and say, let me tell you how we're going to beat them.
You know, all right. So you don't think it just he's full of crap. He's not going to do that. They're keeping Josh Rosen.
Yeah, he's keeping. He was brought in to fix Josh Rosen.
Okay. Well, that's awful tempting, though, isn't it? You're a college.
Mike McCoy and Byron Leftwich last year as the two guys working with Josh Rosen.
You're a college guy. There's Kyler Murray right there. You're taking over. Oof. Tempting. But okay, fine.
Josh Rosen's not a real athlete.
So Josh Rosen's out of the mix.
But see, this is why I want Josh Rosen. Okay. I think that he's got some of that Tom Brady stuff. I think that he can think his way out of a game.
You think Josh Rosen is better than Drew Lock?
I think that's what I would like to do. I'd like to see Josh Rosen. Last year I would have taken Drew Lock, but this year I would like to take Drew Rosen because he's had a year to see it. There's nothing like seeing the speed of the NFL.
I agree.
But Drew Lock has a superior arm. But Drew Rosen is just, you know, he's just a prototypical guy. He can think his way, and he's ultra competitive, and he can think his way out of it.
Yeah, Josh Rosen's a pretty talented dude. I agree with you, too. All right, well, you see what the situation is for the Broncos. I know you're saying trade Von Miller, and I would too, by the way, but you know they're not going to do that, right? I mean, they're not going to do it. So it's a bit of a moot point. However, I think you point out some great things, like the possibilities of what you could get. You could get, if you traded Von Miller, you could get a starting quarterback and a starting cornerback that theoretically you could have for the next 10 years. That could happen. It could happen. And I think the Jets would be willing participants. Love to have Von Miller.
You know what stinks about the Cardinals? I'll tell you what stinks about the Cardinals. Is that they took a guy in the first round. They gave him a coordinator. He learned the playbook the entire offseason. You know, like people not even thinking about what it is that you do when you are introduced to football as a rookie. And sure, you're being paid to be part of an organization. But when you're learning the system for the first time and you're still trying to get used to the speed, because everybody thinks that, hey, man, you know, like when people are in college playing for some elite teams, just say you play for Alabama, you play for Clemson, you play for Auburn or Tennessee or Texas or one of the big schools that has a history of being good. And you know what you say? All of them say the same thing. My team could have beat those woeful Jacksonville Jaguars. That's what everybody thinks. Like, hey, we could beat the Jaguars, or we could beat the Cardinals. And then they start, and then when you get to the NFL, the thing that happens all the time is you go, damn, that guy won this award. That guy won that award. Oh, that's that guy from over there. Oh, my goodness. I didn't even know he was here. Oh, he was the first round pick? That guy right there? And before you know it, you start seeing this collection of athletes, and you go, man, we don't have – you know, I thought my team at the University of Colorado could have ran roughshod over, you know, some teams in the NFL until I was actually in the NFL, and I realized that a good year in the NFL is 10 sacks in 16 games, when in college – that was something that you try to do before 8 games. You know what I'm saying? So the talent level in the NFL and the speed of the NFL, to really get it, man, you need to see it. You need to see the speed one time so you understand what is open. An open play in college, call it two computer screens is open in college. We're talking about in the NFL, what's open is one computer. However big your computer is, your laptop big, that's wide open in the NFL. So that's how different it is. I mean, you're talking about these big old computer monitors versus, you know, your laptop computer. That's open. That's a window. That's your window in the NFL. That's the window Tom Brady throws the ball to. That's the window last night that you saw Kevin Hogan catch that football because a defender had the right arm out and Kevin Hogan had to reach with his left arm out to make. That's open. Excuse me, Chris Hogan. So that's all I'm saying. I mean, you got to see the speed of the NFL. And Josh Rosen has seen the speed of the NFL, even though he learned a playbook that he's not even using anymore. At least he got the speed of the NFL down.
We'll get to your calls coming up next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Next week, we'll be broadcasting from Radio Row in Atlanta, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Now, here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Mike's got a question for you, Alfred, about the offensive line. I got the country song. We're good to go, Big Sexy? Man, I tell you what. What's up, buddy?
Hi, this is Mike.
Hey, Mike, go ahead.
First time caller.
Congratulations.
Hey, I had a question. I tried asking Sandy this when you guys first got your phone lines, but got disconnected before I could explain the whole question. My question is this. When is the NFL going to adjust to the tackles being a little slimmer down to be more agile to combat the offensive or the defensive edge rushers? And when are they going to beef up the guards to take care of the bigger guys inside?
I think that's been going on for a long time. That's a good question. Most of the one of the things that I said, and I didn't get a chance to get to it yet, and I'll address it now, that happened in that game just yesterday between the Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs. The biggest loss that the Patriots suffered last year was not on the field. It was in free agency. They lost their big-time first-round draft pick, Nate Solder, to free agency. So what they did yesterday so Justin Houston and Dee Ford wouldn't beat them is that they used a chip technique. And the chip technique is a technique that's used where the defensive end takes 2-3 steps up the field and then somebody hits him. When you're playing defensive end and the running back or tight end hits you in the middle of your rush, then it just destroys your rush. Your rush is done. But the only way that you can commit to making sure that that guy doesn't chip is that you have to show guys that are blitzing in the A gaps or B gaps to ensure that those guys will turn and you will have one-on-ones. Otherwise, your two best players on the outside end up being null and void the whole game. Now, Wade Phillips would not allow that to happen to the Broncos, and I'll tell you how he did it. What Wade did is that he would actually bring, he would show double A gaps, he would show B gaps, he would show slot blitz, and he's, you know, but he hardly ever brought anybody that wasn't a linebacker or a safety on a pressure. And what that did is that it made the line, it made the tackle play honest, and that means that the tackle doesn't have that chip on the outside. But the Kansas City Chiefs don't have that kind of defense. Their coordinator just believes in playing with coverage, and if you bring somebody, it's not through the A gaps. When the Patriots blitzed Patrick Mahomes last night, it was through the A and B gaps. Everybody saw that, right? Everybody saw Patrick Mahomes get beat through the A and B gaps because quarterbacks don't like to get blitzed in the A and B gaps. The Kansas City Chiefs don't do those things, and they help their tackles out. So the tackles, even though they aren't the same size as the guards, like the question that you just asked about, they can be effective against great pass rushers because they can be more, they can be smaller, but you can chip them when you're playing against a defensive coordinator who's not on his P's and Q's. They should have brought A-gap pressure. They should have brought B-gap pressure to force that running back to step up so at least one of those guys would have a one-on-one on the outside. And that's how they got out-coached yesterday, because their defensive coordinator didn't have an answer for New England basically saying, we're going to put three guys out in the route. Okay, so three guys go out in the route, and no matter what happens, you are not going to get to Tom Brady because we're going to protect with eight. And that's what happened yesterday in the game for the most part. Or we're going to protect with seven, and you're going to rush with four. Listen, you're never getting to Tom Brady when somebody, or you're never getting to the quarterback when they protect with seven guys versus four. That's just bad coaching. You know, you got to know going into the game, you're going to be a little outside of your comfort zone. Hey, listen, it's an old school philosophy, and I've said it for many years. If I was playing against Von Miller, Von would never have a great game against me. I would discourage him. I would make sure that he doesn't ever touch the quarterback. The ball's going to be three-step drop or throw away, or I'm going to chip him every single time. Every time I see Von Miller in one-on-ones, I just call the coach a dumbass. That's a dumbass coach. Like, why would you even allow that guy? You know, the one time that they didn't block with the chip, Justin Houston came flying around the corner, and I almost knocked the ball out of Tom Brady's hand. Tom Brady stepped up and threw it away. Why would you ever allow for that to happen to your quarterback? Those are just dumb coaches who allow edge rushers to beat them. Von Miller is a special player, but against me, he wouldn't be, because I would block him the same way, and that way you don't need your tackles to be huge.
Let's go to Craig. Hey, Craig, you're on the fan.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Super.
Hey, just wanted to kind of get your opinion on something that's kind of developed just today. And I wanted to ask you a question as far as, have you read the article about Carson Wentz on Philly Voice from Philly newspaper?
No.
So look that up. I want you guys to look it up and tell me what you would think about Carson Wentz possibly coming to town.
Why would the Eagles let go of Carson Wentz?
I want you to read the...
Oh, my God, dude. Don't give me homework. Why? Just summarize it a little bit.
They called him selfish.
Who called him selfish? So,
there's a very in-depth article from Philly Voice. It's kind of a smear.
Who called him selfish?
There are unknown sources.
No, but players, coaches? Who?
Yeah.
Who?
Players, coaches, both.
Dude, I got like three people talking to me at the same time.
Sources so, inside Eagles.
Sources
what,
inside
the
Eagles.
In the article.
So we don't know if it's players. We don't know if it's coaches. We don't know who it is.
Correct.
So you're going off a story with a bunch of unnamed people, and you have no idea who they are. That has like
correct.
That story has like zero credibility to me.
I
off the top
I
of my head.
Agree.
I mean zero.
Which one you would go for if the Philly team makes it available?
Who, Nick
he's
Foles or Carson? I would go with neither one of them. First of all, he's not going to be available. That's
be
a
available.
Terrible story. I did see that getting a little traction today, and that is a garbage story as far as I'm concerned. And he's not going to be available. The Eagles have already stated the obvious. Listen, Smart organizations, Al, have a plan when they draft a first-round quarterback. Never mind a number one overall, okay? He's the future, no matter what. Period.
Stop with the nonsense.
Hey, you know what they did? You know what they did out there? And this will tell you about the real state of mind with NFL organizations who know what the hell they're doing. Dirk Cotter last year had a situation where Jameis Winston was suspended for the first few games. And in that time period, Ryan Fitzpatrick lit the NFL up. He lit it up. I mean, he was throwing for like 400-plus yards a game. I mean, he was lighting it up. So much so that when Jameis Winston came back, he wasn't immediately named the starter. Dirk Cotter instead played Fitzpatrick for a couple more games. Then he inserted Jameis Winston into the game. Jameis Winston didn't play well. They yanked him, put in Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then they ended up going with Jameis Winston to finish out the season. And at the end of the season, they fired Dirk Cotter because they said that they are 100% in, yeah, all in with Jameis Winston.
As they should be.
As they should be. You drafted him number one overall, and you're going to quit on the guy because
no,
this guy had a couple good games?
No, of course not.
So the reason that Dirk Cotter was cut was because he didn't believe in Jameis Winston.
Well,
and you know
too
why?
Bad for you, dude. Because
you know what? You know why?
Yeah.
You know why? Coaches that get paid to win. That's why they didn't want to play. That's why they didn't want to play Paxton Lynch. Because guess what? I have a better chance to win the game if Ryan Fitzpatrick is in the game. Guess what? We had a better chance to win the game if Trevor Siemian was in the game. Nobody wants to go through the pain and the growth pattern,
right,
of playing young guys. And I'm telling you, it's the truth. And organizations who don't understand when they have a young guy on the team, just to stick with him and go with it. Like, even though you may think that Jacksonville was wrong for doing what they did last year with Blake Bortles and extending him, it was the right thing to do because they have invested all this time in this guy. They invested all this time in this guy. The right thing to do was empower him, give him the keys to the car, and say, "You're our guy. And let's see where it goes from here." Now, he didn't respond, but they absolutely did the right thing. And I think, you know, I think it's overlooked when teams don't stick with their plan. Like, you drafted that guy in the first round. Play him. Play him. He's your guy. You did all that work. You know how much work goes into finding a guy in the first round? You draft him, play your guy. That just really pisses me off. I just don't understand why you could draft a guy in the first, how you could draft a guy in the first round and not play your guy. Anyway, all right.
No, I totally agree. All right,
play your guy. And you know what? The first thing that happened when they got their new coach, what's his name? Tango hat.
Bruce Arians.
First thing he said is that we're 100% all in on Jameis Winston. We love him. Man, if you don't say those things immediately in a pressure-filled situation, you confuse the entire team. I've been on teams like that when nobody knew who the starting quarterback was, even though we had a first-round quarterback in David Klingler. You know, they were trying to push Jeff Blake out there onto the field. I'm like, play the guy. He's just going to suck. But guess what? The coaches want to win. Coaches want to win. So they'll just disregard everything to try to get a win. They don't want to go through that process, man. They don't want to give. And you know what? You draft the guy, give him a system that he knows. David Klingler, I played with this guy, came from a run and shoot system. If you want to see him do well early, put him in a run and shoot offense.
I have a minute of country torture for everybody. That's all right. Torture. You can judge for yourself next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Parkman waits for it, tried to swing it out. Girardi kept it in. Now taken by Gaudreau. And time is going to run out on the Avs here.
Really? Predators.
They're going to win this one by a 4-1 count.
Wow. Get big sexy out. Just throwing in our face. It's like throwing, like, Golden State Warriors highlights.
Much different. Much different.
Oh, it's much different. Why is it much different?
Because I was just referencing the coach talking trash. By the way, did you see what happened after the game yesterday with Patrick, not Patrick, Marcus Peters? Did you see him find Sean Payton?
No.
Okay. So if you don't know the backstory, Sean Payton said that they really liked their matchups against the Rams, and they say they really liked the matchup with Thomas versus Peters.
Oh, and yeah, so, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. I get McVay so and after the game, Payton.
After
stuff.
The game,
yeah.
Peters said before the game, hey, you know, we'll talk to Sean Payton after the game, and then we'll sit down and have a bowl of gumbo.
Yes, I saw that.
And so
yes.
He went to find him after the game, and you should have seen the little pushing contest. McVay had to go over and stop it.
McVay?
Yeah, the head coach for the Rams.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah, he it was big. So, once again, stop bumping your gums if you're a coach talking about players playing. Mm. All you can do is talk about what your team has to do. But if you get a win, celebrate your win without talking trash about the other team.
But take that L on the way out.
Okay. You know, inherently, you realize Michael Malone was not talking about the teams. He was talking about the team's fans that come to the Pepsi Center. You realize that,
yeah,
right?
He inadvertently was talking about if you come to the Pepsi Center, you're going to take an L.
Yeah, but he was talking specifically to
right,
the fans.
Man. All right, dude.
I get what you're saying. I'm just being a little bit more specific, but I understand how it could be misinterpreted. I get it. You know, inherently, I do agree with you, by the way. Because you really don't gain anything by not being humble. You know, there's really no advantage.
There's no advantage, D-Mac, for
no,
him.
I agree.
Saying, you know what,
agree.
You know what? You know, they played a good game, but I'm so proud of our guys and the way that we played here at home.
Yeah, because
thank
you can,
to the fans. How come you just can't say that?
You can.
People over
you can.
Instead of, you know,
you can.
You as soon as you put a bullseye on that statement, then somebody's going to shoot it down. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I feel you.
You know, the thing that people love to hear is, you know, oh, you saying that I can't do this. And who's the best guy that you've ever heard say that we can't do it? Tom Brady. Tom Brady keeps on, you know, this guy has been to, what, 9 Super Bowls? And after the game, he was hugging Chris Hogan, saying, you know, and Chris Hogan says they said you were too old. And Tom Brady looks at him and say they say that you're too slow. You know, I'm like, these dudes are just, man, you give people bulletin board material, man, they going to use it. This, you know, people think that stuff ain't good and it don't work. Man, it's going to work for the rest of time. Tell me what I can't do, and I'm going to show you wrong every time I get a chance. Let's see your country song.
Oh, you do want to hear it. I was getting ready just to do it on Facebook Live because I didn't think you really wanted to hear it.
Let's hear it.
I only want to do it if you really want to hear it.
I want to hear the song now.
Are you sure?
Got nothing else to do for 2 minutes.
Because I don't want to do it, and you're just like, oh, okay, you happy now, D-Mac? You know, because I could just do it on Facebook Live.
Let's hear it, man. Golly.
I mean, if you really want to hear it. Wait, I get a hold on a second. It starts right away, and you got to turn the music
Let's go.
Up.
Let's go, big
all right,
sexy.
All right. Okay, go ahead. On a swampy road down the bayou way, I met a girl who stole my heart that day. Was gold, her smile, it was so true. 8 years together and we made our vows to stay loyal forever and proudly now. I must leave to serve the red, white, and blue. I fought hard for my country every day. Then I got the news that forever changed. I can do better. Okay. You cheated on me, and that's a fact. Now you call me out for not coming back. Baby, you're the pot that calls the kettle black. You slept with Tom and Jim and Billy and Jack, and now you say it's my fault and I'm full of crap. Baby, you're the pot that calls the kettle black. There it is.
That was awful. And I'm glad, I'm so glad that we have that. I'm so glad we have that on tape. I did not want to stop you.
Come on.
Was a beautiful mess. That was a beautiful mess.
Come on.
That was awful. That was awful.
What part was awful? What part?
Oh,
I think the
piano was great. The singing and the lyrics. Oh my goodness.
The lyrics are awful. The singing's awful. Of course, I agree with you with the singing.
Oh, the singing was. I'm talking about the lyrics. The lyrics were awful.
The lyrics were awful.
Oh my goodness! You didn't connect. I still don't think you understand.
It was a country song.
I'm calling the kettle black. Me?
Well, it said you slept with Tom and Jim and Billy and Jack. You said it's my fault.
But
and
why'd
I'm full
you
of
say
crap.
That red, white, and blue. What was that on?
Because I gotta fight for the country. I mean, it's just I went off to war. It's a dude who went off to war, and it's this girl that cheated with like four different guys.
Yankees lose.
All right,
thank
maybe
you, Pedro.
Maybe it's harder to do than I thought.
All right,
I'm glad you like
right.
it. I'm glad.
I'll write that song for you, and I'll have a version.
I'm
of
glad
it
you like the music, though. If I could sing better, it would be better. I have a terrible voice.
All right, man. I tell you what a fantastic
you know what? By the way, my wife told me it was awful too before I came into work. So.
All right, for my partner, D-Mac, the great songwriter, and for Big Sexy, courageous enough to play it, and my main man, Kyle Berry, I'm Big Al. Have a great Monday. I hope you guys laugh as much as I did on that last one.
The music was good. No, the music? I get the music?